Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios at 2:30. We'll cover Governor Pritzker's press conference live right here on 720 WGN. Also, the president scheduled to speak at 4 o'clock. We'll cover that live, too. We did this last week, and we're going to do this every week until we get through this pandemic. We have Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us from Northwestern Hospital. Doctor, how are you, first of all?
I'm doing well, Pete. Thank you.
Appreciate your time. We get so many questions from people listening right now. We're live on Facebook. People are sending in their questions. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have two lines open right now. We're going to get to those calls in a second. I have a few questions for you. Number one, we've been hearing about the 6 feet. You need to stand 6 feet away from other people. Why the 6 feet?
It seems arbitrary, but that is a really good estimation of how far the droplets that contain the virus and can be infectious travel. So it seems that if you're 6 feet away from somebody, whether they're talking, just breathing normally, that's a good distance. Droplets can travel farther than that if someone coughs or sneezes, and that's why the recommendation to cough or sneeze into your elbow still stands.
The grocery store lines, you're not 6 feet away from each other. You're maybe 2 or 3 feet away from each other. In some cases, you're right next to each other.
If you can maneuver in the line to be 6 feet away, that's great. I've heard some grocery stores are putting X's on the line that are that distance apart so that people can maintain that and know where they should stand.
Right.
I think if grocery stores can do that, that's really helpful.
My Jewel has put up the plexiglass like you're at a bank teller. Between yourself and the person at the register now.
Yeah, the register workers, the cashiers, they're heroes being out there providing an essential service. And so whatever we can do to keep them safe, I'm for it.
Doctor, getting messages on Facebook right now. Doctor, do you need to wipe down money or wipe down the groceries when you bring them home?
Probably not, although the virus can be detected on a number of surfaces for hours to days. It's not clear that that actually represents virus that can be transmitted or infect somebody.
Okay.
It's not clear how exactly you can clean money in an effective way. If there are plastic surfaces that have come into contact with somebody who hasn't recently washed their hands, certainly if somebody sneezes on something, then that's something to either discard or wipe down.
Right.
But as a general recommendation, probably not.
Okay, let's go to Mel in Chicago. Mel, what is your question for Dr. Singer?
Yeah, you got a great show there, sir. I appreciate your time with me. Dr. Singer, sir, I work in a hair salon. To cut to the chase, I also clean, sterilize the place, mop the floors, do the laundry, what have you. I'm also a senior citizen into my 70s. Do you suggest I postpone my usual going to the salon, or do I stay at home, or what should I do?
I don't think that's considered an essential business, is it?
Well, I mean, in terms of sterilizing the place is closed.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying in terms of getting it clean, take care of laundry, what have you, I mean, it's closed, but I mean, it's got to be, you know, the floor's got to be swept.
So you're saying you want to go there and clean it right now. Doctor, can he go there by himself?
I think whatever you can postpone right now, I would.
Okay.
If you're going by yourself, if no one has been in the salon for a number of days, I think it would be okay to do. But again, unless it's considered something essential to maintain your business, I would put it off as long as you can.
312-981-7200, that leaves a line open. If you're watching on Facebook right now and you have a question, we'll get to that too. Let's go to Ann in Mokena. Ann, what's your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern Hospital?
Yes, doctor, I'm a senior and I live alone, and my concern is, well, I suffer from diverticulosis, which I had a bout of it Friday. I have no problem breathing or no coughing, but my question is, I've never heard this asked before. I live in a condo, and I'm wondering, would it be safe for me to cover my mouth and nose and wear gloves and walk over to my indoor mailbox, which is about 20 feet from my doorway? That is my question.
So, Ann, you're asking if you can walk and get your mail if you cover your mouth?
Because my mail, comes in daily.
Well, doctor, do you want to answer that?
I think you can. You're going to be, it sounds like, as you've described it, far enough away from people that you're at risk of encountering somebody that could transmit a disease like coronavirus to you would be really low. The way you've described that, I think it would be a safe thing to do. If you want to be even safer, if someone can get your mail for you, that's ultimately even safer.
312-981-7200, that leaves a line open. Messages on Facebook. How long, what's the end game here, doctor? I guess we don't know that answer. We don't know the end game. The question is, we need the curve to go down. Is that right?
Ultimately, the virus is going to tell us. The data that are coming out about the number of cases, the number of hospitalizations, and unfortunately the number of deaths is really going to have to guide the policy and the recommendations about when we can remove a lot of these social distancing measures.
708 area code. Pete, how often, ask the doctor, how often I should wash my face? Bill in Mokena.
I don't think you can really do it too much without going overboard to the point where your hands are raw and chapped. You certainly don't want to get to that point. A good rule of thumb is after you touch something that anyone else might have come in contact with, mm-hmm. that's a good time to do it. And standard rules apply, of course, about after using the restroom, before handling food. But beyond that, I think when you think about it, it's a reasonable thing to do, again, without going overboard to the point where you can damage your skin.
708 area code, I've been hitting grocery bags with Lysol, including my shoes, before I bring them into the house. Is that a good idea?
I don't have any data to say that that's a good idea. I don't really see a downside to it. I think a lot of people have been taking off their shoes, particularly when they've been in an area where other people have been trafficked, like a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Taking them off at the door makes sense. As far as the Lysol, again, I can't really comment one way or another about how good of an idea that is, but I don't really see a downside.
Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital on the phone with us, taking text messages, too, at 312-981-7200. We're live on Facebook. Also, we have one line open. Someone just hung up. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 773 area code. How serious is the virus for a man in his 30s who has asthma?
Fortunately, most cases of coronavirus disease are mild. But we do see severe disease requiring hospitalization and even people needing intensive care who are in their 30s, particularly if they have an underlying health problem like asthma, or if they smoke, vape, or use other things that might cause injury to their lungs. So while, again, most people have a mild course of the virus and they can manage their symptoms at home like they would for a bad cold, we do see people becoming quite ill, even in their 30s, who have underlying disease like asthma.
Right. So if you have asthma, stay away from people. That's the bottom line. Let's go to Louise. Louise, what's your question for Dr. Singer?
Thank you for taking my call. I wear plastic gloves to the gas station, to the grocery store. I'm wondering, when I come home, can I take the wipes, wipe them off really good so I don't have to throw them away?
The best advice there would be to throw them away and then wash your hands immediately after you take them off. Most gloves are not designed for continuous or multiple use, and so a lot of the chemicals that you could use to wipe them down can begin to break down the plastic.
Wow.
And okay. So it may, and again, it without knowing exactly what type of gloves and what kind of disinfectant you would use, I can't say for sure, but generally gloves are meant for single use, throw them away, and then wash your hands.
What about leather winter gloves? I wore those to the radio station today, and I wiped them down with a wipe when I got here.
That's probably a good idea. It depends on how much you want to damage the nice surface of leather gloves. There are probably some wipes that are better than others.
As long as I don't get sick, I'm okay with it.
that's obviously the priority. But paying attention to what you touch, even while you're wearing your gloves, matters too. Because if you touch a contaminated surface on public transportation, for example, with your gloves and then touch your face, that's similar to touching your face with an ungloved hand.
What about handling food? 708 area code. How to handle food that you just ordered, say KFC or pizza? Do you immediately throw away the packaging?
We don't have any evidence of people acquiring coronavirus disease from deliveries, whether it be food, a delivered package, or something else that's delivered to your house. I think in general, if you take the food out and put it on a plate or into a different container, getting rid of the cardboard or whatever it came in right away makes sense. But again, we don't have any evidence to say that that's going to really decrease your risk to any substantial degree.
Doctor, I'm going to have you hold on a second. We're going to take some more calls in a second, okay?
Sure.
Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital, 312-981-7200. We're live on Facebook. Thank you, Billy Weber. We'll get to your question in a second. My sister-in-law, Angie, just tuned in. Look at that right there. And 312-981-7200, we have the text messages over here if you're watching online. On the phone with us, Dr. Ben Singer. Let's go to Carol in Aurora. Carol, thanks for holding on. What's your question for the doctor?
Hey, thank you. In your opinion, Doc, my daughter works in dietary in a hospital. And some of them wanted, and it's kind of close quarters, they can't always be 6 feet away just because of the nature of the tray line and things like that. And some of the kids and workers wanted to wear masks, and they were told that the masks are not necessary at this point. What's your opinion on that?
I would recommend that she follow the guidance from her hospital and from the institution. The balance is between protecting hospital workers and protecting patients, and also making sure that masks and personal protective equipment are used most effectively across the hospital. So I would really advise her to focus on the specific recommendations coming from her hospital.
Got it. This week, I need to mention this. This week on Chicago's Best, a fan favorite. They're stacked and piled high. Chicago's Best Burgers tonight at 10:30 on WGN TV. 630 area code, can pets be carriers? Dr. Singer.
We don't have any evidence that pet cats, pet dogs can carry the virus. Coronaviruses are animal viruses. But again, we don't have any specific data that pets are a source of transmission.
Okay.
It is a CDC recommendation, though, that for people who have coronavirus disease, they should not be involved with pet care directly. But in general, again, we don't see pets as a major vector for the disease.
Billy Weber online on Facebook Live heard ibuprofen is bad to take during this time. Is that true?
Probably not. There is anecdotal evidence that kind of got blown up in a number of press articles and political statements about ibuprofen. Right now, there is no recommendation not to use ibuprofen during the pandemic, particularly if it's something you take as directed by your doctor or at home as part of treating fever, pain, aches, things like that.
All right, let's go to David in Milwaukee. David, what's your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern Hospital?
Oh, good afternoon, and thank you so much for the program. I'm calling because I'm having a gosh darn time finding my PrEP medicine that I use. I'm HIV positive, and it just seems like I can't get it anywhere. And I'm wondering if there's any way if there's like a stockpile somewhere, or if this is some kind of conspiracy or something, because usually we can get our PrEP for free.
He's having a tough time finding his medication. Shouldn't he call his primary, Dr. Singer?
Yeah, I would recommend calling the doctor who prescribes the medication,
right,
and find out about availability, alternatives, and all the other things that you can discuss with your doc. Yep.
All right, coming up at 2:30, we're going to cover the governor's press conference live. Let's go to Ron. Ron, what's your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern?
Yes, Dr. Singer, can you just explain the term flattening the curve for me? Thank you very much, and we appreciate you bringing this information to us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. Flattening the curve, can you explain that to people?
You bet. It's an enormously important concept. So the idea is that if we do nothing to slow the spread of the virus, we're going to have an enormous spike in cases that overwhelms our ability to take care of patients, meaning that we don't have enough doctors, hospital beds, nurses, respiratory therapists, and equipment to care for that many cases that quickly. So the idea behind flattening that curve is so instead of having a big spike, we have a much slower rise in the number of cases that comes up and then comes down over what is indeed a long period of time, a longer period of time than that initial spike, but it's at a rate that never overwhelms the healthcare system. In other words, we are still able to care for everybody who needs it.
Right. Doc, I'm going to have you hold on for just a second. We have a few more calls that we're going to get to, but I need to take care of this. Dr. Singer from Northwestern Hospital on the line, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. We're going to carry the governor live as soon as he walks up to the podium. Also, we're going to carry the president live. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to talk to Dr. Ben Singer leading up to the governor right now. Let's take a few more calls. Barb in Schiller Park. Barb, what's your question for Dr. Singer?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Singer. Thanks for taking my call. I have a son. He's 29 years old. He has cerebral palsy and he's nonverbal. And he's mentally disabled also, so we can't communicate. He just had pneumonia over the summer, and it was like a almost like a 6-month thing. He ended up being trached. He was on a ventilator. So now the trach is gone, and he still coughs, and I have to suction him. And now how would I know if he has the virus? What would be some symptoms I would look for with him?
Doctor?
Sure. The things that you're going to want to look out for is a change. So in somebody who makes a lot of phlegm and is coughing it up and needs suctioning, you're going to look for, are you needing to suction him more frequently? Or is there a change in the phlegm? Is it green? Is it changing? And then fever, that's another big one, if he were to develop a fever. But I think because of his history, which is quite serious, I would be in contact with his doctor just for what we call anticipatory guidance, meaning things are okay now, but just like what your question is, what do we do if things have a change so that you have a plan in place with his doctor if you do notice something?
When in doubt, call your doctor. Let's go to Bob. Bob, what's your question for Dr. Singer?
Hi, yes, I'm an over-the-road trucker, and
oh boy.
I've been out and about, and my wife is concerned about me coming home because I've had a lot of contact with people out here. I've tried to do my best, you know, with distance and washing my hands and disinfecting and everything, but how concerned should I be about coming home and possibly giving her something?
It's a good question. Doc?
Yeah, that's a tough one in your line of work. I hear you. I think it's ultimately going to be a personal discussion between you and your wife about what your level of risk that you're willing to take on is, particularly if you're older, if you or your wife have underlying health problems. If you do decide to separate, it would be what is recommended as kind of that 14-day period where you're going to monitor your symptoms, look out for fever, cough, weakness, shortness of breath, and contact your doctor during that period if anything comes up.
Got it. That noise you hear in the background, we're waiting for the governor to step up to the podium. Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital on the phone with us. Let's go to Mark. Mark, what's your question for Dr. Singer?
Good afternoon, fellow doctor. We've always used vinegar to spray our fruit that we eat, the skin, et cetera, like apples, pears, et cetera, and then rinsed it. Is that effective?
Does vinegar work to clean things?
It probably won't do all that much against this virus, but it's still a reasonable thing to do to clean your food of other things like you've been doing. Again, I really don't think there is a lot of evidence to support the idea of food transmitting the coronavirus. But, of course, maintaining food safety as you've been doing is still a good idea.
Doctor, O positive blood type was less likely to get the disease. Is that true? 847 area code.
I think we had that question come up before. The data are not strong to support that. We don't have very strong signals from multiple studies suggesting that certain blood types are more or less susceptible to getting the virus or having poor outcomes from it. So I think that in any one person, irrespective of their blood type, if they happen to know it, they should still consider themselves at risk and take the precautions as they would otherwise.
773 area code. My brother is 60 and diabetic, uses insulin. Is he considered in the high-risk group? I've never gone to medical school, but I'm going to say yes. Doctor?
Yes, people who have diabetes seem to be at higher risk for complications of the virus than other people. That is also true for people with other chronic health conditions like high blood pressure.
Okay, let's go to Mark in Rockford. Mark, what's your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern?
First, is this considered an antigenic shift similar to 1918 and 1957?
Yeah. Great question. The Spanish flu was 1918, right?
That's right. So you're talking about the influenza virus in 1918, and you're using a great term called antigenic shift, which is a very technical term for when there is a large shift in the genetic makeup of the influenza virus. The coronavirus family doesn't have the same type of genetic structure as influenza, and so it doesn't necessarily represent what we would call an antigenic shift. But this is a virus that has mutated from other coronavirus family members in such a way that makes it more easily transmitted and, unfortunately, more deadly in many cases.
Thank you, Mark in Rockford. 312-981-7200. We have one line open. Tim, what is your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern? And, Doctor, thank you again for doing this today.
And, Doctor, what a blessing you are. We appreciate you. Thank you for taking the call. Hey, I survived the influenza B virus after being in a coma for 5 days back in 99. And you were just talking about the genetics of it and how you compare it with the influenza B. What's making it go so fast? What's making this strand run so fast through the public? Airborne, touchborne? What did we miss that we should have called it earlier?
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that you were able to recover. Influenza can be really severe, as we've discussed. This virus has, like we were talking about with the last caller, mutations. It has changed in a way from other coronaviruses. And again, some of the other coronaviruses that are in the same family would be the one that caused SARS a number of years ago, or you may have heard of MERS. Also, these are other family members that can cause severe disease. And this one has also acquired different mutations that allow it to have a greater rate of infection, a greater propensity to spread via droplets when people talk, cough, or sneeze, and also has properties whereby once somebody is infected, they are more likely to develop severe illness, meaning something beyond just cold symptoms, actually developing pneumonia and something that would cause them to become critically ill.
Doctor, 773 area code, once you get the virus, are you immune to the virus?
We certainly hope so. There's emerging evidence that people who have the virus develop an antibody in their blood, and we have emerging evidence to suggest that that may be protective, but I want to emphasize that we don't know that for sure yet. So we don't know that people who have been infected once are necessarily immune to the virus, and if they are immune to the virus, for how long?
Okay, Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us. Let's go to Jana as we wait for the governor to step up to the podium. Jana, what's your question for Dr. Singer from Northwestern?
Oh, hey, sorry about that. Hi, so I'm 58 years old. I'm feeling pretty good. I do have a kind of a dry cough, and I've been getting just a little bit of shortness of breath, not horrible, but absolutely no fever, for a few days. It kind of almost feels like getting bronchitis. I had that a few years ago. Should I be like
so you feel
concerned about
this? You feel like you're having shortness of breath right now?
Yeah, it's just like I'm not taking like my usual deep breath like I normally do.
Doctor?
Yeah, while many, many different things can cause that symptom, and many different viruses and bacteria can cause bronchitis, in this time I would think that would warrant a call to your doctor.
Yeah, I mean, especially with everything that is happening in the world, if you have one symptom, I'm sure that it's starting. Again, I've never gone to medical school. That's just my opinion, but that's why we have
No, I think it's good advice, Pete. I think not everybody has all of the symptoms that you read about all at the same time. And so if there's something that's concerning, it's worth and deserving a call to your doctor. The advice may be stay home, monitor your symptoms, call me as things change. But keeping those lines of communication open, that's a really important piece of advice.
Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital on the phone with us. As soon as the governor walks up to the podium, we'll cover that live. That's the sound that you're hearing in the background. 312-981-7200. Is the governor walking up right now or no? Okay. We have a few more minutes. 773 area code. I have not had any antibiotics for over 20 years. Does that help at this time?
I'm glad to hear that you haven't needed antibiotics. That's actually a very good thing, but it's hard to know if that makes any difference now. Again, antibiotics treat bacteria, not mm-hmm. viruses, and having not been on antibiotics, it probably doesn't do much for your risk for coronavirus disease.
Kathy on Facebook, what is the incubation period for this disease? What is it, 2 to 12 days? Is that right? 4 to 10?
That's about right. It could be as long as a couple weeks, but most people have an incubation time of around 4 to 5 days. It could be as early as 2 days to a week, and again, some people after that. But for most people, it's going to be 4 to 5 days.
I think the doctor Dr. Fauci on television said that the people that are sick now got sick last week. Is that right?
Yes, that's about right. And so that's why when we talk about these ideas for flattening the curve and how long do we have to wait, the very earliest that you're going to see any type of social distancing measure have an impact is about in 2 weeks. And that's because it takes 5-ish days for somebody who was exposed to start having symptoms, and then another period of time for them to present to a physician, get tested, get the result, and that's where that 2-week number comes from.
How much, how long have you been on the front lines right now? I mean, the last few weeks, are you working nonstop over at Northwestern? You get some time off? Are you guys taking shifts? How does that work? I feel like it's all hands on deck.
We are definitely expanding our capability to care for critically ill patients. And while we have been very busy over the last few weeks, we are still anticipating more and more patients coming in need of hospitalization and critical care services within the coming weeks. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Diane on the south side. Diane, you're on with Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern. What's your question?
Hi. I was wondering, I have COPD. I just learned about it before the virus started. Back in November, my doctor told me, am I more susceptible to the virus? Should I beware more than other people about it?
That would be in the pre-existing category, Doc?
Yeah, in a short answer, yes. People with COPD, emphysema, chronic bronchitis are at a higher risk of having complications from the virus. So whatever you can do above and beyond to protect yourself is a good recommendation.
All right, let's go to Ginger in Downers Grove. Ginger, what's your question for Dr. Singer?
My question is to do with my husband's use of handkerchiefs versus paper tissues.
Oh, boy. You got to get rid of the handkerchief. Doc?
Now, the best advice is to use a tissue once, throw it in the trash, and wash your hands.
I don't understand. I never understood the handkerchief. You blow your nose, you put it in your pocket. I don't get that, especially now when you have to be careful. Let's go to Linda in Harwood Heights. Linda, you're on with Dr. Ben Singer from Northwestern Hospital. What's your question?
Yes. My family, who has issues, we're all over 70. Two of us have systemic lupus. One has myasthenia gravis. We'd like to protect ourselves in a little, more thorough way. And we've heard that UV actually helps. And so we were wondering if there are portable UV wands that are better than others to help us.
UV lights? That's kind of a holistic thing.
So I appreciate that you want to do whatever you can to protect yourself. I think the main things are social distancing, staying at home, hand washing, wiping down the high touch items, disinfecting things. While UV can be used to sterilize equipment like we might use in the hospital, I don't think using UV in the home setting, or particularly using it on a person, yourself, or a family member, is a good idea.
Dr. Ben Singer on the phone with us from Northwestern Hospital, 312-981-7200, taking your text messages, your phone calls, and we're live on Facebook. As soon as the governor walks up to the podium, we'll carry that live. Dr. Ben, 847 area code, my 85-year-old mom is wearing a paper face mask when she goes to the grocery store. Does this help?
Probably not. The main benefit of wearing a mask is to prevent spreading something that you may have to other people.
Okay. How about supplements? Does that help? Vitamins, multivitamins, fiber?
If you have a vitamin deficiency and need to take vitamins for that reason, then absolutely. But we have no evidence that taking an excess of vitamins, if you're already healthy, can really do anything.
So if I'm loading up on vitamin C and D, that's not really helping.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. All right.